According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt, changing your life forever. Circumstance versus purpose. Now, many of you, I hope, have read the story. But we have gone from a 17-year-old child to a 30-year-old man. At 17, he had a dream. And he was on top of the world. Then his dream was shattered by his own family. Threw him in a pit. Then sold him into slavery. From slavery, he ended up at Potiphar's house. And he rose from just a slave to second in command. Everything that was under Potiphar's house was given charge to him. Then Potiphar's wife wanted a piece of Joseph. And he denied her. And so she lied on him. And he ended up in jail. And while in jail, he met two of Pharaoh's key people. Butler and a baker. And they both had dreams. And he interpreted their dreams. The baker was going to die, and the butler would live. And he said, if you just remember me when you go see Pharaoh. And of course, the butler left. And for 2 years, he had forgot about what Joseph had done. And that's where one picks up in the 41st chapter. But let's dialogue a little bit about what took place. Now, you know that I say that your purpose is bigger than your circumstances. This man had been bombarded with some rough circumstances. He could have caved in a long time ago. As a matter of fact, he could have caved in at the pit. Well, the minute he realized that his own family didn't care for him. Yeah. They tore off his coat of many colors, sold him into slavery as if he was worth absolutely nothing. Now, for many people, that would have shattered most folks' dreams. Well, here it is that I think I'm something. But then my family tells me that I'm nothing. Yeah. I don't see how I can go on after understanding that I'm nothing. More people live in their circumstances than live in their purpose. Circumstances will build up around you. And they are good and sometimes bad. And the problem is when we allow our circumstances to develop our lives, we're doing an injustice to our purpose. Joseph dreams of being elevated should have been shattered with no repair. But it's something about knowing when God gives you something. See, didn't just anybody give him something? He got a dream that he understood came from God. Wow. Now, notice how Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. Yeah. But yet he never interpreted his own dream. Could tell everybody else what the dream was about. But Joseph never once mentioned what his was about. Knew that he would be elevated somehow, but he didn't know the trajectory of where his dream would go. But holding on to what you believe to be your purpose can drive you out of your circumstances. And I believe that Joseph kept holding on to that purpose. Even when he went to Potiphar's house, a stranger, he could have found a corner somewhere and cried himself to sleep every night. I'm no longer with my dad, no longer with my family. Things aren't going my way. I don't know why God gave me such a dream if it's the end like this. But something inside of the text says that Joseph never forgot the dream, because everywhere he went, he was elevated. So God, even when you think that God is not in the midst of your circumstances, as long as you keep your eye on the purpose, you will be able to navigate your way through the circumstance. See, the problem is that sometimes when the circumstances are negative, we want to quit. Other times when the circumstances are positive, we want to forget. You can never take your eyes off of purpose. Because see, everybody who was born in this world, who God took the time to fashion in their mother's womb, has a purpose. And so Joseph must have stayed on it, because he would not veer into the land of negativity. Because if he did, this chapter would not have been written. Can you imagine if Joseph had started complaining about his situation? He wouldn't have been elevated to Potiphar's house to be second in command. As he was going through the process, as he was going through his circumstances, he was being administratively trained for a higher position. Now, he didn't know. All he had was a dream. All he had was what he thought God was sending him on. And so, you know when they say, I just put my life in God's hands? Do you really mean it? Do you really mean I'm just letting go? And letting God, it's in your hands, Lord. Situation is pretty bad. And personally, I can't do anything about it. But don't you realize that that's what God specializes in? And the stuff that you can't do nothing about? The stuff that you can't fix with your own accord? The stuff that you don't understand? That's what God specializes in, turning the world upside down. Joseph, you got everything, man. You a slave, but yet you in charge of this whole man's house. And after a while, trouble starts. Most men get in trouble at a proposition like this. Come on, sleep with me, Joseph. I know you want me. I can give you what you're looking for. I can satisfy you. You a slave. Didn't say nothing about no women being around Joseph. You a man now. I got something you might. No, I know you won't. And Joseph said, look, Miss Potiphar, look at all your husband gave to me. Look at everything he put me in charge of, and I'm a Hebrew slave. Why would I throw it all away for a tangle in Paris? It's not worth it not to betray my master. So even in the midst of the storm, when he could have slept with her and it would have been fine because it was good for the Egyptian side and they wouldn't have went nowhere beyond that. But God knew what was going on. And he stood for God. And not for what the world thinks is cool. For men stepping out. And so he said no. And she plotted against him. Now, he in trouble. Circumstances just went bad again. They were good. Now they're bad. I was in charge of everything. Now I'm on the run. Now he's thrown in jail. Now, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? I know you got a purpose for me. I remember the dream and I'm holding on. But now I'm going to jail and I didn't do any wrong. All right, I'm done. I quit. I'm tired. 17, since I turned 17, I've been in trouble. Up and down. I think my life is going well, then slam. I pick that part up. I don't complain about it. I keep moving on. I elevate again and slam. Lord, I'm tired of these circumstances. But it seems to me that Joseph got stronger in his circumstances. How many of us get stronger in our circumstances? How many of us use our circumstances to be our stepping stones? Or how many use them to get tripped up in? I hear a lot of folks say, well, the reason why I ain't doing this is because of this. The reason why I'm not such and such is because of this. The reason why this and the reason why that is because of this and because of that. And therefore, I'm nobody. If you begin to believe that you're nobody, if you begin to believe that you don't matter, that you don't count, or that you just some arbitrary person who was just here only to be set up as a target to die, guess what? That's what you're going to die in. But if you begin to look beyond your circumstances, your troubles, your problems, your fears, your determinations, your realities, and even your dreams, life will begin to unfold before you. Stop playing church. Stop playing Christian. Stop playing, I know the Lord is on my side, when you're acting like you're all out here by yourself. Joseph said, I'm not out here by myself. And when I go to jail, I'm taking God with me. If there's a place that you need God, I would think jail would be the place. Because something has to keep your spirits above lockdown. And so as we read the text, we begin to see how Joseph went to jail and began to navigate his way to what? Second in command. How are you going to just come to jail and take over the jail? Huh? You're supposed to be in jail to do your time and rot and come out to be unsuccessful. You're not supposed to get elevated in jail. But do you realize that Satan can capture someone who is never or is not a slave? Even though you're physically locked down, physically a slave, it's up here what counts. They can't lock down your mind. unless you give it to them. If you think you're a slave, if you think you're in lockdown, guess what? You're going to act like you're in the lockdown. But if you're free, can't nobody take that away from you. And so he was elevated to the number two slot. Now remember, he was 17. Years are passing. And as years pass, it looks like he'll never amount to too much other than being second in command in jail. Because there were two that was there that had dreams. And he interpreted their dreams. And he said, look, butler, you're going back. You're going to see Pharaoh face to face. Just remember me when you get there. Now, you would think that if you told somebody to remember you and they going to see the president or whoever is the head of whatever they are, and you're trying to get a little leniency on your way, yeah, after you just helped them out, you expecting a call within a week. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Man, after I done helped him out, the week done passed, I ain't heard nothing. Well. I'm still in jail. I don't care if I'm second in command. I ain't done nothing wrong. Well. 3 weeks done passed. Man, I'm still up in this piece. 4 weeks. A whole year done gone past. Joseph still sitting in jail. Looks like I'm going to be here forever. But it never shows that his spirits went down. Because see, what you got to realize is that we all have a time of trials. And everybody's time is different, depending on how long it takes you to get to where God wants you to be. Children of Israel, stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. Some of them died there because they never got the message of how good God was. They didn't have to be in the wilderness for 40 years. They were at the brink of going over into the promised land, but they got scared because they believed the negative report. Even though God said that we are able to go over and to capture the land, yeah, they believe the majority versus the minority. Well. Trial, period. So we come to this great chapter where Joseph is finally remembered. Mm-hmm. Not by man. Well. And God never forgot him. But God chooses the appropriate time when to elevate you. See, that's what folk don't want to deal with. Lord, I'm ready now for the elevation. No, you're not. If you was, you wouldn't have said you were ready for the elevation. Elevation comes when you're not looking for it. Elevation comes when you have finally humbled yourself to the point that now God can begin to talk to you. Elevation comes when you least expect it. 2 years out of the blue, Pharaoh gets a dream. Guess who's around to hear the dream? The butler. The butler all of a sudden has memory again. I know when I was in jail, there was this one dude who interpreted my dream. His name is Joseph. Pharaoh said, call him in. Pharaoh tells him his dream. And Joseph begins to interpret the dream. See, if you are mad and bitter about your life and the way it's going, you will never be in a position to bless someone else. Because you're too concerned about what's going on in your life versus keeping your eyes on Jesus. If Joseph had been consumed by the fact that this butler had forgot him in jail, and soon as he had heard that the butler had called Pharaoh and Pharaoh was calling for him. Nigga said, I ain't going now. Left me in here for no 2 years. I don't care what the fuck. Let them all die. But as Christians, we do what? We rise above the mess. See, we're not concerned about what others and how others have treated us or if they have forgotten. We have a higher call. We have a higher responsibility. We ought to be light in a dark world. And so Joseph stood firm on what he believed and went into Pharaoh's house and told him exactly what he dreamed. Pharaoh said, "Woof, that's a lot of stuff." Then Joseph didn't say, "Now let me take over." He said, "You don't need to find someone who can handle this situation." God said, "Boop, hey, Pharaoh." Pharaoh said, anybody that's wise, I'm putting it in your hand. Not only am I going to put it in your hand, Joseph, but now, look at this, y'all. Pharaoh just met the man, right? Didn't know nothing about Joseph, other than the fact that he just interpreted his dreams and told him a whole lot of stuff. So now, Pharaoh had to have some faith that what Joseph was saying was true. Because he turned around and put everything under his command. Wow. He made him second in command over all of Egypt. And not one thing had come true yet. In the midst of being in the pit at 17 years old, the standing before Pharaoh at age 30, 13 years of struggling, 13 years of up and down, not knowing whether you're coming or going, but 13 years of remaining faithful to God and the dream that he had. Many of us get mad after one day. Something don't work out our way. Some of us right now have a vision from God, dream from God, purpose from God. But because we don't know how it's going to come to play, we run from it. Because it don't come into our lap the way we want it to unfold, we hide from it. And we count it off as saying, that can't be from God. Maybe that's just me. But you got to understand that you are bigger and your purpose is bigger than those circumstances. If Joseph had wavered once, he wouldn't have been where he was. So you mean to tell me that God can elevate you from a pit to second in command of all of Egypt? And you got to understand that when you are second in command of Egypt, at that particular time and era, you was the man. You was running stuff. There was nothing that you could not get. There was no one who would mess with you. I thought he was out when they sold him into slavery. How many of us right now are in slavery? It's in your mind. You locked down. You can't get out. You caught up in the gas prices. You caught up in the food prices. You caught up in everything that's going on around you. And you trying to figure out how to get out of this situation. You trying to work two and three jobs just to pay one. You got bills coming out of you nowhere. And you ain't figured out how to see daylight. But you keep digging and diving and going and trying to figure out and trying to work it all out and trying to do something other than give God his props. Lord, it's in your hands. I don't control the gas prices. I don't control the food prices. I know I need to eat, and I know I need gas. Lord, I'm going to sleep, and it's in your hands. You know where I want to go. You know where I want to be. You know what I want to do. I'm going to sleep. You're going to give me some rest. And I'm going to let you handle all these circumstances. Because if you did it for Joseph, you can do it for me. 13 years, he struggled. Woman had an issue of blood. She struggled. Children of Israel, they struggled. Countless people in the Bible have struggled. Short term, long term. What makes you any different? What makes us any better? Your circumstances have overcome you. And I'm saying today is a day to change your life forever. Today is the time to say, no longer will my circumstances hold me in prison. No longer will they keep shackles around me. I can't control them, but I can keep moving on. Because the minute you stop and wallow in circumstance, you stop moving. And when you stop moving, you're no earthly good to yourself or anybody else. In this process, we have to keep moving. You can't stop. You don't even have time to look behind you right now. If you look behind, you'll be like Lot's wife, turned into a pillar of salt because she was longing to go back to where she was because she didn't know what the future held. Your circumstances aren't really that bad. They seem like it. Say, Ray, but yours ain't quite like mine. Everybody's are different. But I know someone whose circumstances definitely outweighs yours. Definitely worth more than what yours was worth. You say you struggling. You say you got issues. You say you got problems and you don't know how to get out of those situations. Well, I know a man who has some issues. And he had some problems. Even problems Joseph didn't even understand. I mean, he had so many problems that I myself would not want near one of them. But for some reason, he just kept moving forward. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why, because for the purpose in which he kept moving was really not digging him that much. Why would you keep moving for something that don't really even care about you? I had to look at it, and I looked at it, and I looked at it. Now, I come to a place to help him out. There's not even a place for me to lay my head when I get there. There's no crib laid up for me. There was no baby shower. Matter of fact, my family was on the run just because I was coming. So the circumstances in which I was coming in were pretty bad. So if they bad, why would I come anyway? Come on, but then matters got worse as I began to grow up. It seemed like I was always going from pillar to post because nowhere I went would ever hold me. No place could really sustain me because they couldn't understand who it is and who I am. But I kept on moving anyhow. When Joseph was 30, he was turned into the second in command in Egypt. But when I turned 30, I didn't get no special privilege card. I didn't get nobody to give me everything second in command. Not the matter that I owned everything anyway. I'm just understand that when I turned 30, I began to go straight to work.
Yeah.
I did a few miracles that some folks might remember. I turned water into wine. I got some dead folks up. I made some blind folks see. I made some lame folk walk. One place they even tore somebody's house apart just to get down to me. But my circumstances were still pretty bad because I had folks that were on my trail. Then when I turned 33, I said, well, I may have finally arrived. But I should have known that after a while was around the corner. But as long as the circumstances kept building up against me, I kept my eyes on my purpose. I kept my eyes for the reason I was here, especially when I turned 33, because my world began to turn upside down. I had folks out to kill me. Folks was looking for me. Folks was trying to hide me. I had to go steal away every now and then. But then one day there was a garden of Gethsemane that had my name on it, and I had to go stop by. I said, Lord, the circumstances are getting kind of hard right now. The circumstances are pressing down on me so much that I don't know whether I'm coming or going. So, Father, if you would, please remove this cup from me. He went to him three times and said, Lord, if you just please remove the cup. But it came down to him and he understood that not my will, but your will be done. Whenever you're moving toward God's purpose, it's not your will, but his will be done. And so he's a good example, so I just kept on watching him. I said, well, now he done gave into what God wanted, I'm going to just keep watching. I'm going to keep watching and see what he going to do. Well, soon as he finished praying, the guards came and got him. Peter smited off somebody's ear. In the midst of his circumstance, he went and touched his ear and put the healing back on. Put down your swords. I didn't come here for none of that. Marched on up down to where Pilate was. Paraded before all of mankind. Pilate said, ain't nothing wrong with him, so he sent them away. Just so they could beat him for a while. I figure if they beat him long enough, they're going to let him go. If they beat him till he was unrecognizable, they're going to let me go. If they beat me till they can't even remember who I am, maybe they'll let him go. But they beat him so bad that his back was burst asunder. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. Now, I'm just talking about some real circumstances. But no matter what the situation, he just kept on moving forward. Took him back before Pilate and they said, now look at him. He looks a bloody mess. But I find no fault in this man. But they still yell, crucify him. They still yell, crucify him. They still yell, crucify him. So they sent him on up to Golgotha's hill. I'm just talking about some circumstances that would have made me quit a long time ago. While he was marching up the hill, he fell down. Somebody helped him up, picked him up, helped him continue the journey to the cross.
Come on now.
Now, with all the power that this man possessed, he allowed them to lay him on the cross. He allowed them to put nails in his hands. He allowed them to put nails in his feet. He allowed them to lift him up into the air. I thought you said your circumstances were pretty bad. And you can't make it. You don't know how you're going to make it. But the Bible says that through all that stuff, he never said a mumbling word. In the midst of his circumstances, he heard someone like us crying out. And he said, this day, you shall be with me in paradise. Then with all of his troubles and all of his circumstances and all of his problems, he realized that his purpose was bigger than his circumstance. So he said, Daddy, I need you to hold my spirit for a minute. I got some more unfinished business to do. He died up on the cross. He went down to the grave. He said he preached up a sermon like never before. and set the captives free. But see, when you don't let your circumstances grab you, when you don't let them wrap up around you like a dead weight anchor and keep you down, you got to realize that Satan thought he had the circumstances wrapped all around him. I got you now. But purpose is bigger than circumstance. And when purpose starts to override your circumstances, the Bible says that he snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave, got up with all power and all authority, so that you and I might not be losers but be winners in this life. Got up with all power in his hands, and because he got up, we got a purpose. If he never got up, we don't have any purpose. But because he got up, our purpose is sure. Our purpose is sure. And you know what? Because he got up, we're going to get up too. Keep your eyes on your purpose. Change your life forever by waking up every morning and keeping focused on your purpose. When they tell you you're nobody, when they tell you you're down and out, when they tell you you'll never make it, when they tell you you'll never be successful, when they tell you you're a bum, you're going to die a bum, you're going to always be a bum, you're just like your mama, you're just like your daddy, when they tell you all those things, you tell them to step away from me as I step into purpose. Watch what God can do with my life. The world wants to squish it. But God say, I got an open door for you. Jesus could have just called the whole thing quits, called the angels down, and took us completely out. But he let this purpose lead him to the cross, to the grave, to get back up again and be the king of purpose. What are you doing right now with your life? What are you doing? Are you throwing it away? Are you running away from purpose because purpose looks scary? Are your circumstances badder than Christ or worse than Christ? Could you withstand what he withstood just for you? If it's not that bad, then you can make it. You can make it. And you can change your life forever. But you got to remember one thing. Your purpose is bigger than your circumstances. And if you take that to the grave with you, I will guarantee you one thing. When you go to see God, you will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because it's purpose that drives us.